I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Sunday night smash fest. There is one big reason why the Eagles were able to fly last night, and we'll tell you why it was so important. Meanwhile, oh, what a beatdown. The game of the week turned into a runaway. How Lamar put the entire NFL on notice. And then we're talking about the power couple getting it done. And to be clear, I don't mean the one on the field. Oh, let's get this thing going on a Monday. It is time to get up, starting right now. Let's go. And Danny is back. Our crew is reunited, and it feels so good. Danny's here. RC is here. Rex is here. We've got so much to do. No time to waste. Let's go.
Chang, we're not going to talk to Chang?
We'll talk to Chang. Plenty of time. Can we pick it up? Oh, game of the night. Dolphins, Eagles, showdown, Super Bowl preview. Could be Tua versus Jalen. Teammates at Alabama once upon a time. Second quarter. Hurts. Screen pass.
These might be the greatest uniforms in the history of the NFL, yes. Also, Greeny, but I love that. That's the RSO, the run to the right, screen to get all-out pressure, touchdown, Dallas Goedert.
Eagles 10-3 lead. Now, back the other way, 4th-and-3, Eagles going for it.
This is a great job by Jalen Hurts. 4th-and-3, got to have it. He knows he can go out and be a little bit of a playmaker. I stay downfield, finds A.J. Brown down to the 1-yard line.
After a review, they rule him at the 1-yard line, but that might as well be a touchdown, RC, and we know why.
The brotherly shove is coming
all night long. Rex, they just can't stop it.
They can't stop it.
Rex is going to tell you later how he would have stopped it.
There's no chance. Yeah, because the wrong guys on the field.
So that's how you stop it. Hurts 30-second rushing touchdown. Now, it looked like the Eagles were in control of this one right before halftime, but then Tyreek Hill happened.
Just spectacular by Tyreek Hill at the line of scrimmage. He's going to get double teamed. He sets and then splits that double team. A great throw by Tua.
Now, we're 4 minutes to go in the third. A 7-point game. We got a tip. We got a pick.
Much needed by this Dolphins football team. It's a really good job by that blitzer realizing I'm not actually going to get to Jalen Hurts. Get both of my hands up in the air. Falls into the linebacker Baker's lap. Touchdown Miami.
So we're all tied up. We're late in the third between these two good teams. Who will make the play? AJ Brown.
Yeah, that's that short end. He does a great job of sitting in that zone, not running into defenders. Jalen gets it on him and then strength after the catch.
Fourth quarter, still 24-17. Dolphins are threatening, and here's the biggest play of the game.
It's a huge play, and it's a fantastic job by the rush, being attached to coverage, and then big play Darius Slay, essentially coming off of his guy to go find the football and make a play. This defense needed that moment. Darius Slay comes up with it.
And then the defense needed the offense to run a bunch of clock, and so they would do exactly that. RC, multiple fourth and shorts with the tush push.
Listen, when you look at this team, if they get you 4th and 1, you can almost just move the sticks automatically because they're so good, so physical. When you have Jason Kelce and Jalen Hurts, it's an unstoppable duo on the tush push.
And so now we're 5 minutes to go. How about the play call?
Unbelievable job of catching Miami in a little bit of a fire zone pressure. They're dropping out, only a 3-man rush. They double move A.J. Brown, and then that physicality shows up. He's getting dragged to the ground.
10 catches, 137 yards for Brown, and then Kenneth Gainwell punctuates with the touchdown. Huge second half from the Eagles, and they hold on to win it 31-17. There you see the former teammates with the statement that was made. But Rex is going to tell you why this was a bigger picture statement. What was proven last night?
That physical teams always beat finesse teams. And every day of the week, that's what happens. And it happened in this game. Were you really surprised by this? I wasn't.
Why not? Because of the physicality of the Eagles on both lines.
Absolutely. And, you know, we get to the, hey, they had 4 fourth down plays, right? Where they run the brotherly shove.
Right.
They never stopped it. So guess what? We're going to keep doing it. And to me, that was about being physical. Look, Miami, that was the best I've seen Miami's defense play all year, and they still got beat by it. And so to me, the better team won, and it's not surprising.
But the other thing is this, too. If you watch The Equalizer 3, Denzel Washington is 79 years old, and he's beating up all these young Italians by just setting a watch. That's exactly what the Philadelphia Eagles were yesterday. They were the equalizer. When you think about the Miami Dolphins, just look at the teams they've beaten. The Chargers, the Pats, the Broncos, the Giants, and the Panthers. That is not a murderous row of NFL teams. But when you play the Buffalo Bills, you get your doors blown off. You go to Philly, and the physicality in the run game shows up. Fletcher Cox, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter. They absolutely controlled the line of scrimmage. And when you do that, you make Tua Tagovailoa play with an eye patch on.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is now his progressions, now the play action doesn't move football players or doesn't move the defense like you can when the run gets going. And when Tyreek Hill has an opportunity to walk into the end zone and he doesn't, I really think that changed the tenor of the game as well. You miss a fourth down when you try to go outside. It's a bang-bang play. It could have been a pass interference. The Philadelphia Eagles were the better team. The Philadelphia Eagles were the more focused teams. And I said last week, this would be, does like the serious Philly, we're not changing demeanor, win over like the fun-loving, oh, let's go have a good time and play. And last night it did.
Yeah, I think Mike McDaniel, the head coach of Miami, is going to have to adjust here. To your point, those two games, Buffalo and Philly, the motions didn't impact the defense as much as he wanted to. He didn't get like, I want to say easy or free chunk plays for their offense. The only really good offense that they had last night was Tua making big-time throws downfield. So when they weren't being able or able to do that on offense, it led to a bunch of third and longs. That's not how any offense wants to play, certainly one against the Philadelphia defense. Hassan Reddick, the plan to try to impact Hassan Reddick was not successful. They were trying to crack him, trying to get toss his way, trying to bootleg his way. It did not work. And so I think with Mike McDaniel, you're sitting there going, okay, our motions didn't impact the game. We never got Philly to play defensively in doubt. And so therefore, we were playing to like our C game. And I think what I want to see with Mike McDaniel with those two games is the defense hasn't taken kind of what you've offered it. You know what I'm saying? Like Buffalo, we talked about it. The zone defense. That's all Philly did was they played great zone defense, too high safety. They didn't allow anything after the catch. No, I mean, I don't remember one play last night that was big yards after the catch. I want to see how Mike McDaniel progresses as a coach when defenses are played to that style.
I want to make sure I'm understanding what we're saying here. The Dolphins, who have been one of the great stories of the early season, are we questioning just how real we think it is?
Yeah, because we know this is a good football team, but how good of a football team is it? Can they compete with the elite in the AFC and the NFC? And what we have seen, and I'm listening to Dan talk about Mike McDaniel and adjustments, is not necessarily just the adjustment in how you affect defenses, how you can move defenses. It's what happens when you're behind.
Yeah.
What happens when the run game isn't dominant? What happens when the other team is scoring points? We've watched this team play from ahead. We've seen them play from a lead where defenses get skittish. In the two games where they've had to come from behind, in the two games where you had to put it totally on Tua Tagovailoa and his offensive line and the skill players outside, they haven't been able to produce it.
There's a part of me that does look at the game and say, like, missed opportunity for Miami as well. Granted, Philadelphia wins the game. They go down on their first drive, throw a touchdown pass, gets called back for the penalty. You talked about Tyreek Hill dropping that walk-in touchdown. Those are two right there. So you're sitting there going, as kind of poorly as they played offensively for chunks of that football game, this is the first quarter touchdown pass. That's a touchdown. We take the lead. Penalty pulls it away. So as poorly as you play for chunks, you sit there and go, man, there's an opportunity where if we had strung things together more consistently, we put kind of Philadelphia in a little bit of a unique situation more so than they did to us.
And we also, too, we have to look at the prism that Jalen Ramsey and Xavier Howard both did not play last night, and you expect to have those guys going.
But that's why I was more encouraged by what I saw from Miami yesterday than I thought I would be. I thought they were going to get their doors blown off, quite honestly. And their defense, Miami's defense, showed up without those two good corners. So to me, we got to question Miami because of they have the lowest the win strength of schedule, whatever, 8-25 for the opponents they beat. However, I was more encouraged by Miami's defense than I was at any point during the season.
So let me circle it all the way back to the beginning of our conversation when you said the physicality.
Yeah.
And I don't know that anyone encompasses that better for the Eagles than their quarterback and their star wide receiver. Yeah. They have the most physical quarterback in the NFL by far. They have the most physical wide receiver in the NFL. A.J. Brown has emerged, right? I mean, we knew he was a good player, but this season he has really emerged as one of the NFL's truly elite players. And then they have this play a lot of people want to get out of the sport. Here was Nick Sirianni on the unstoppable tush push.
It's first and nine every down. You know, every first down is first and nine. Knowing that if you get to fourth and one, shoot, a lot of faith in that play. People can't do it like we can do it. And so I'm making my plug right there, like, don't ban this play. Like, if everyone could do it, everybody would. Where's the camera? If everybody could do it, everybody would do it.
Okay.
I love that
arrogance.
That's
real talk, though. And people are trying. It's not like people aren't trying to implement this into their offense because it does work. And we've watched, whether it's the New York Giants, the Los Angeles Chargers, we've seen these different teams attempt it, and they don't have the people for it. But when you look at Jalen Hurts, Jason Kelce, you have A.J. Brown, who you're talking about just emerged. More than anything, he's an absolute unit behind pushing. Like, this is very different what they can do. And there's a level of fear you have as a defense that you know every first down, we're playing for four snaps. We don't get to hold you to 8 yards or 9.5 yards and just believe that you're going to punt it, because there's 100% belief you can pick up the last yard.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's ridiculous that people are saying they should outlaw this play. Why? Because they're so good at it? I mean, they're converting 93%, okay? I get it. That shouldn't be the reason you take it out of the game.
The reason one would say you take it out of the game is if it's a dangerous play. If more players are apt to get hurt. That would be the only... You can't take a play out because one team is so good at it. You could take it out in theory if you felt it was more dangerous. But let's put it's that not. To the side. Rex Ryan is the one man alive, and this should come as no surprise, who said to me this morning, oh, Greeny, I could stop that thing like that. How are you stopping
unstoppable
play?
I'm putting 12 guys on the field, but the first thing, you have to get underneath the center. If you don't have leverage underneath, yes, you can. You can. It's just your technique has to change. And you've got to flatten your palms down. You got to get your tail up, and you've got to drive them out. It's not the other way. Everything, their pad levels are even or higher than the offensive linemen. So you can't do that.
You got to root underneath.
You got to root them.
Gotta
root hog or die.
It's like a puke of people in there, though. Right? Like when you look at it, it's just like. Yeah. Throw up of humans. and you just can't stop it. Jason Kelce is so low. Those splits are so tight. And their quarterback is a freaking monster. Like, it's a fullback with an arm.
Yeah.
Right. It is so difficult to stop that play. And you have to, I honestly think, you have to be willing to get hurt. Defensively, you have to be willing to say, we can do things and we're willing to do things to stop this play that other humans aren't.
Your mentality has to be, no, we're knocking the hell out of them. All right, we can fit them in there too.
Your mentality has to be you have to win second down. If you get them to third and
but
five,
but I'm
it's
saying
over.
This. My right. mentality, yep. I'm never going to concede anything.
It's
I can assure you that. I'm going to try to get underneath them and knock the heck out of them.
All right, we're going to get to all of that. We'll have more on that as we go. But I want to show you game six of the ALCS last night, because this series, candidly, both these series.
Come on, Rex.
Unbelievable. Astros, a win away from the World Series. Top of four. This is Jonah Heim, one on,
yes,
two out.
Yes, the great catcher. Gone. there it goes. Get out of here.
Oh, look how close.
He's got it in. No.
Rangers take a 3-1 lead as Kyle Tucker was just.
Was that the lady close. With the crown paying attention?
Now, here we go. Astros down 4-2, but here was their chance. Jose Leclerc doing the pitching. Mauricio Dubon. Bases loaded and one out. Do they get out of the jam?
Oh.
Two gone in the inning. Next batter, John Singleton facing Leclerc. What are we going to see here, Danny?
Just the chest high cutter.
Bang!
We got to send that.
Leclerc.
We got to send that.
It's so tantalizing.
They're out of trouble.
I want the high heat.
Top of nine.
Oh, you do?
Rangers up. Bases loaded. Garcia.
Rex.
You hang it?
Oh!
We'll bang it!
Maybe you should have hit him again.
Oh, my goodness. He loves it. Garcia fired up. Rangers force a game seven with a 9-2 win. Home field has been a disadvantage in this series. The road teams have won all six. Coming up, did you see what Lamar did to the Lions? We'll tell you why everyone should be very afraid. Plus, the Sunday Stunner. What's going on with Josh and the Bills? Are they in danger of missing the playoffs? We're talking about it next. Let's get up on a Monday, ESPN.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. Hey, RC, you were a safety, so you had to deal with a lot of tight ends on National Tight Ends Day. Should a tight end be able to do what Kyle Pitts did on this play yesterday?
Absolutely not. I just wish that they would remember he is this guy and throw him the ball a little more. You talk about the tush push. This is the tush catch. And a lot of people were saying, like, it's like Bijan Robinson. It's actually better. He's running away from Desmond Ridder. The throw is behind him. You grab it with the left hand, put it on your left cheek, and you don't fumble it when you get tackled. That's a big-time play. Kyle Pitts.
Spectacular play.
Right too far.
Ravens, Lions. I spent all last week telling you I thought the Lions were the best team in the NFL.
You lied.
Yeah, that take didn't turn out so well. First quarter, Ravens going for it on fourth down.
Yeah, they really surprised Detroit defensively here by having Lamar Jackson carry the football.
By the way, okay, Lyman, that's enough.
That's Ronnie Stanley, by the way, blocking someone into the seats. Now, Lamar, think he has enough time back here, Danny?
I don't know. I could never recover someone for 1 second, let alone 9.5. But an outstanding job by him staying alive and then finding someone else to pass catch.
Aguilar.
He caught it.
Ravens a 14-0 lead. Then we told you it was tight ends day, so we got to get Mark Andrews into the act.
Yeah, easy, nice job. They bring Mark Andrews from the left side of the formation, scrape him across all the way to the right, dump off touchdown.
Yeah, for the Lions fans, it was time to avert your eyes because it was only going to get worse. Third quarter, more of the same. Lamar again, Andrews again.
Green, his throw's unbelievable, though. Like, this ball comes out of his hand so quickly, the touch on it. You're going to see there. Watch OBJ on the right side of the screen. He's just coming out of his route, and Mark Andrews is actually catching the football. Just tremendous touch by Lamar.
All right, so this was just an absolute thrashing from the word go. Statement win for the Ravens. Absolutely extraordinary. If I were to turn to you and say, I know he was the MVP of the league a couple of years ago, but that was the best game I've ever seen Lamar Jackson play, what would you say?
That you wouldn't be wrong. And I picked the Baltimore Ravens this summer to go to the Super Bowl, and I backed off of that pick because I wasn't seeing the progression of the offense. Yesterday was the perfect mix of what Todd Monken wants to do with Lamar Jackson and Lamar Jackson elevating his play. When you look at the way this game started, they start with a naked boot. Then it's an RPO pass to Odell
Odell Beckham Jr. Yes. And then you give a high-low dig to Zay Flowers that he turns into yards after the catch. And Lamar Jackson was perfect through those first three plays. And I feel like that was the start they needed as a team and as an offense. And then it just continued to snowball. If Lamar Jackson plays this way, he's absolutely an MVP candidate and a guy that's a front runner. But more importantly, the Baltimore Ravens are a Super Bowl favorite because Mike McDonald defensively has this team hunting behind Roquan Smith. And when Lamar Jackson plays that way, there's nothing you can do with it.
Watching that yesterday makes me so giddy about Baltimore. That's one of the best passing games I've ever seen Lamar have. And I would say this, like, this is a now top five passing offense in the NFL. The Baltimore Ravens. Three things that I absolutely love. The use of Zay Flowers in motion. You start him inside, you motion him outside. Communication by Detroit. Now, what that does is it forces the defensive back to play outside of now number two, Rashad Bateman, who's an in-breaker. This is easy. Multiple times yesterday, the use of Zay Flowers in motion was huge. The second thing, the tempo change. Watch how quickly they get to the line of scrimmage. Now, this is huge. Right when Lamar puts his hand underneath the center, we're snapping the football. Detroit's not even set. And then it's a little ball flick. That's how Mark Andrews gets so wide open because that's new under Todd Monken. The change of tempo. The third thing, play action out of 12 personnel. I love it. Mark Andrews and Patrick Ricard in the game. We have a post, a crosser, and a dig. Number one, the post. Okay, it's not there. Number two, the crosser. Okay, it's not there. Number three, Lamar, get to it. And then, oh my gosh, that throw over that linebacker is so good. We saw that so many times yesterday. Lamar Jackson in play action yesterday was unbelievable. And the layered throws, that's like...
Dan, I have a question for you, too. Was this the most that Todd Monken mixed it up, though? 100%. It seemed like more movement in the backfield for Lamar Jackson, getting him off the spot, but also the route concepts in the dropback game seemed different. How different was it from what we've seen this year?
Totally. The motion use has gone up. Like, they're trying to, you know, manipulate the defense with that. The play action and, like, changing the launch points. And you guys know this better. Like, moving Lamar from behind the center to behind the guard is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Because the play action concept that it impacts, it also changes his vision. And then the way that they're using certain people in the play action game with a Zay Flowers or a Mark Andrews, it's in the change of tempo. Right now, the Todd Monken offense in Baltimore, I love.
Rex, what was the first thing you said to me this morning?
About
the Ravens.
About the Ravens?
Yeah.
They should be undefeated. They really should be. And when you look at it, they lose to Pittsburgh. They dropped eight passes that game.
Mm-hmm.
That three touchdowns they should have had.
Right.
So this team, oh, my gosh, are you right? And when you put up the play action, all right, it wasn't just the run fake because the run fake did nothing in that situation. What it does, it gives you way more guys in protection, allows Lamar to sit back there, and that's why those deep shots and things like that. He finally has a core receivers that have the skill set to beat people down the field.
They're a top five pass game right now. The Baltimore Ravens.
But it's built on protection first, which he's never had.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's what I see from this team right here. That's the encouraging thing. You mentioned the defense. Roquan Smith.
Monster.
Ever since this guy came on board, now they're back to playing Raven defense.
They are.
All right? That's how good this player is. He tilts the field. All right? The way he intimidated the running backs. He intimidated all those things. To me, he's a beast. So they haven't had that since a guy was in the middle there many, many years ago.
Yeah, named Ray Lewis.
You want to know what else I liked about the game? When Lamar used his legs, it felt like he was using his legs because he needed to and create pass game stuff rather than we can't get anything else going on offense, so we have to run Lamar. It felt, when I say needed to because no one was open downfield or he had to get away from some pressure stuff.
What I love about that is he only had to be special when he had to be special.
Right.
And it sounds really simple.
No,
but for so long in his career, we've asked him to be special every single snap. Lamar, do something that other people can't do. When yesterday it was, we have enough time in the pocket. I can scramble around and make some plays. Find Nelson Agholor. It was fourth and one. Let's use his legs to get in the end zone. But it wasn't, let's put everything on Lamar.
Well, Lamar Jackson, I think, has always been a special athlete. Now he's a special thrower.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so to me, that is the difference of this team.
The touch throws. I'm telling you, the layered throws that we're seeing him place over second-level defenders is really big time.
The Ravens put the entire AFC on notice yesterday, including the defending champions, Kansas City. They had themselves an interesting performance yesterday. The power couple had it working yesterday, both the one on the field and the one in the skybox. We'll show you all of it coming up in a moment, plus a giant disappointment for Washington, leading to what I think was the best post-game soundbite of the year. Don't miss it. Coming up next, Get Up on ESPN. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back bottom of the hour, outstanding game in the afternoon window. Travis Kelce ready to go. Taylor Swift ready to take in the action. Chargers and Chiefs. And this might have been the best half that we've seen Patrick Mahomes ever play.
Which was saying a lot. It's a great job by Patrick getting outside the pocket. The thing that I love the most is what he does. His eyes stay downfield all the time, finds MVS. This time, 13 personnel. One back, three tight ends. We go underneath, play action. Kelce on a crosser. Why would you cover him?
12 catches, 179 yards for Kelce on this day. And then Rasheed Rice will cash it in.
Another really nice job by that offensive line for Kansas City. And then Travis finds him.
Rasheed's been great in the red zone for this team throughout the season as well.
Second quarter, meanwhile, 35 points put on the board by these two teams.
You throw the ball so hard.
So hard. You have no choice but to catch it.
But here we go. Final seconds of the half. How does Kelce get in on this play? They shove him over, but everybody, okay, here we go. This is the moment we've been waiting for. Give me the dance. Give me the synchronized handshake, Brittany and Taylor. There we go. We're going to spin. We're going to bump. The chest bump.
Beyonce would never.
Late in the fourth quarter, Chiefs inside the 10. Isaiah Pacheco, he runs like he's mad at the ground.
Chiefs so mad.
31.
So
seven.
Mad.
This was a terrific game. Oh, and Tay-Tay loves it. She's ready to go. Mahomes spectacular. Kelce spectacular. The second quarter of this game was a back-and-forth affair, and then things really buckled down. And, Rex, you said two things to me this morning in our meeting that stood out to me. What were they?
Yeah, I think, number one, this was the best offensive performance by the Chiefs all season, without question.
Yeah.
And this is the best defense that Andy Reid has ever had in Kansas City.
Yep.
And so Spagnuolo's doing an amazing job. But this team, what's the best unit on the field? Might be their defense.
Yep. Yeah.
Their defense has been spectacular.
Yeah, we've said that all season. I mean, you start off with the Detroit Lions game in which they lost week one. They only gave up 14 points. Right. You remember they lost because Brian Branch gets the pick six on the tip from Kadarius Toney. But here is what stands out to me about the Kansas City Chiefs. The entire season we talked, what's wrong with Patrick Mahomes? They can't get any offense going. Is there a stranglehold on the AFC going away? Is it loosening? They're 6-1.
Is that an imitation of me? Just
no,
out of curiosity?
No, well, I mean,
no,
it's,
no, 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 no.
When it's you, it's
imitation.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Now, you would be like, and what is wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs? I look at Patrick Mahomes, and he just doesn't look the same.
Do they need to trade for Dak Prescott?
Is not dapping off Brittany. That's you. But when you look at this team, though, we sit here and we wonder what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. But they're atop the AFC again.
Yeah.
And they are because of that defense. When the offense was trying to find themselves, this defense kept them in every game and won those games. And now, even though we're seeing Patrick Mahomes, to me, be more reliant on Travis Kelce than I'd like him to, than he ever has, they're finding ways to make it work. And this is, again, the team to beat.
RC, how good is that defense? They haven't given up over 21 points the whole season.
Yeah.
And before I get to Danny's tape, I just Romo did a pretty good job, I thought, of highlighting this on the broadcast, just as a defensive player. Even I could see, especially when they played so soft. Like, what were the Chargers doing?
Greeny, in the first half, I have no idea. Like, I have no idea. Look, this defense is 31st in the league, all right, with one of the highest payrolls.
Right.
That's not a good combination, okay? But I will say, to this credit, you know, at halftime, he made the adjustment. He challenged him a lot more.
Samuel got the interception.
Yeah, yep. And they were way more competitive in the second half.
That said, the Kansas City offense yesterday had one of these days that it was just extraordinary to watch. Show me some tape.
Well, when Patrick's getting from 1 to 2 to 3 that quickly and having really sudden eyes, that's when they're at their absolute best. And I love this. So Travis Kelce's going to start outside in. He's going to be the one on an out, 2 on the corner, 3 on the cross to Mecole Hardman, who just got there yesterday. Watch how quick this happens. 1, he doesn't like it. 2, he's going to get off the corner. And then he's getting to number 3 before 3 is actually getting onto that cross route. Pins in on his chest. That's when Patrick's at his absolute best outside of the scrambling. Kelce starts outside in again. He's going to have 1 on a quick out route. 2 is going to sit on a pivot. And then 3, Travis Kelce is going to wrap the end. Okay, Patrick peeks to number 1. Don't like it because that flat defender is getting too wide. Watch how quick he gets from 2 to 3. Ball's going to be out in less than 2 seconds. When he's playing that fast and seeing it that quickly and they're kind of dispersing the defense, that's when they feel like pass game-wise they're unstoppable. I'd say the second thing, too. Andy Reid does such an incredible job of, like, manipulating protection and forcing the defensive line to play almost, like, spread out in many ways. That combination is dangerous for anybody to play with, especially the most talented player we've ever seen.
It is great. Andy Reid is unbelievable. The defense is better than I've ever seen. But at the end of the day, Andy Reid, there's one thing Mahomes does that Andy Reid has nothing to do with. No one runs directly to the sideline and still throws a gorgeous ball better than he does, right or left, on a full sprint. He's avoiding people. He is as dangerous with that and then every now and again running for a first down on third down as anyone has ever been.
We've seen it his entire career, right? That was the way his career started. If you go back to his first year as a starter and you think about the play against the San Francisco 49er where he topsy-turvies and twisty-wisties in the backfield, gets to the sideline.
Look at this.
Football.
Boom.
We've seen the same thing. Think about the fourth down early on in his career where he throws across his body against the Baltimore Ravens and Tyreek Hill. We've seen this from Patrick Mahomes, but what we're seeing now is he's understanding when he needs to do it in the sense of when his team needs that lift. Yeah. He knows how to use his legs to pick up the first down when that's needed as well. And they're starting to sort of find their way. Now, everybody finds their way against Brandon Staley and the Chargers defensively.
Yeah.
But they're starting to find their way, and that's what's scary about this team. It was you needed to put them behind the eight ball as they were finding themselves offensively. You acquire Mecole Hardman, start to implement him as well. This offense could be fine.
He's the best I've ever seen. I mean, he's the best. Yeah. I've been watching the game 50 years. He's the best player I've ever seen at that position. In the meantime, the Buffalo Bills are the team that we thought, well, maybe they're the ones that will challenge them this year.
Oh, you got them right, Rex.
Oh, but we got Mac Jones taking them on. Here we go. Bills down 22-10. But now they needed big plays late, and Stephon Diggs makes a huge one.
It's an unbelievable play by Steph.
Oh, my God.
1, to go down and make the catch. 2, while you're going down, start getting yourself back up to go make a play. And then the strength to break off or essentially shake off 2 tacklers to get in for a much-needed touchdown.
So it's a 5-point game. And the Patriots, who about played them all day long, just need not to make the big mistake.
Yeah, Kendrick Bourne does a nice job coming back to the catch. But watch 21 Poyer come in. Punch with that right hand right there to pop the ball out. Just a great play by 21.
So the Bills get it. Would they convert it for a touchdown, Rex? Of course they would.
Of course.
Why?
New England State.
Because they've got Josh Allen.
Had to get it out again?
Josh Allen punches it in. Bills go for the 2. They get it. 25-22. Here comes the drive of his life from Mac Jones. How about this on 3rd and 8?
Honestly, this is the best throw I've ever seen him make.
Touchdown, Gesicki. 12 seconds left. Give me the gritty. Give me the gritty.
That is not the gritty.
No, he does it.
It's another word, but I can't start with SH, and I can't say it on TV.
He tried it one way or another. Belichick wins his 300th game. That's a crazy game, and I think that there are a lot of people who will watch that. We'll get to the New England side. We'll give them their credit, but holy smoke. I mean, the Bills, what exactly has happened to that team?
Well, I mean, first off, when you look at Josh Allen, you're telling him every week, don't go be Superman, Josh Allen. But yet, we're going to call plays that force you to be Superman.
That's it.
When you look at his completions yesterday, Himbo sent this stat over. His yards per attempt on completions, 5 yards. His yards per attempt on incompletions, 19 yards. Mm. You can't have that. Where's the intermediate football? Yeah. Where is Josh Allen taking what the defense gives him? When you look back at the Miami Dolphins game, that was all he did. He said, when you give me an opportunity to make a play, I will. When I have to be super, I will and play above the X's and O's. But until then, I'm going to take the right matchup and make the right throw. We haven't seen that the last three weeks. And it's been so Stephon heavy. Now, if you look out throughout the game, I think 9 receivers caught the football. Dalton Kincaid started to get involved. James Cook started to get involved in the second half. They have to do more of that because I believe that's when Josh Allen pulls back and allows his playmakers
to make plays. This is not a Josh Allen problem. We have seen times when it looked like a Josh Allen problem. I'm just looking it up here. I mean, they only had 17 rushes in this game that were not him running the ball. Rex, what have we seen the last 3 weeks?
I think they stayed in London. So that was when they went to London and Buffalo forgot to come back.
They looked like the best team in the league when they left for London, right?
We remember that they obliterated Miami.
Right.
Then they go to London, all right? They lose there. They should have got beat by the Giants or could have easily gotten beat. And then we saw this. So to me, yeah, they got some issues. You mentioned about Superman at quarterback. How about them in protection? All right, all day we've talked about how they protect the quarterback. People are doing a great job, Kansas City and all that. This guy has to be the guy that makes the blitz, you know, he avoids the blitz himself. Yeah. It's not picked up. And so, to me, I think it's unfair about this. You know, Josh Allen gets blamed for everything.
Yeah.
He's the only reason.
This was not a Josh Allen
anything.
Problem.
Well, two things of their offense bother me. One, the lack of a plan versus pressure or the blitz. And then two, they don't go under center and go play action pass anymore, even though they were the best team in the NFL for a month doing it. Okay, the pressure. Hey, if that linebacker blitzes, it's on us, the quarterback, okay? It's on us. The offensive line is going to left. Josh has to catch this ball and do something with it. The wide receiver's wide open, but instead it's a run around 2nd and 7. Guess what? If you dump that ball off, it's 3rd and goal from the 2. Now it's 3rd and goal from the 7. We have to kick a field goal. Offensive line's going to go to left. If that linebacker pressures, we are hot. Means he's unblocked. We got to do something with the ball. They peel with the back. I would love for Josh to quickly go, okay, peel to the back, get to the shallow. But instead, we're going to run around, and it becomes a sack. Now it's 3rd and long in the red zone. Again, offensive line is going to be one-on-one. If that linebacker pressures, it's on us, 2nd and 9. Just give it to the wide receiver right now. That's the answer. That's the answer to the test. Instead, climb up in the pocket, and we're in 3rd and 8 instead of 3rd and 4. The lack of a plan for it, and it showed up in the red zone. And my issue with it is this. That's like been a 5-year issue. You know, sometimes it's good. And sometimes it's terrible. And when you play against here's my thing with Buffalo's offense. You're going to play against Kansas City. You're going to play against Baltimore. You're going to play against Cincinnati. Those defenses are notorious for being really good pressure defenses, really strategic pressure defenses.
I want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying, though, and everyone is. Is this – are you saying
it's
that's
everybody.
On the quarterback?
It's everybody. There are plays there where you say, Josh, we got to get rid of the football.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's getting taught, though, but it's the plan, it's the coaching, it's the execution, it's everyone.
Good. But Josh Allen made the plays he needed to in the fourth quarter, 2 drives consecutively to put them up, and now your defense has to stop them. And I don't care who you are. When you lose an all-pro corner, you become a worse team. When you lose an all-pro backer in Matt Milano, you become a worse team. And they were able to drive the football down the field, not just because of Mac Jones, but because Buffalo is no longer the same.
Buffalo can't play man coverage right now.
Yep.
They can't play man coverage without Tre'Davious.
They may be in a little bit of trouble. We will see. Meanwhile, the weekend is not over. Monday Night Football tonight in Minnesota. Brock Purdy and the 5-1 Niners taking on Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. It's 8 Eastern on ABC, ESPN, and ESPN Deportes. Peyton and Eli will be on ESPN2. They'll have a fella on there by the name of Aaron something. I'm not quite sure what his last name is. Coming up, don't look now, but the Steelers are somehow 4-2. Can Pittsburgh shock everyone and win the division? RC, are they Tomlining their way to a special season?
That's what we do. We don't lose. We just stumble.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We'll be right back.
We are back on Get Up. So much fascinating action yesterday. Let's run through a few of the other games. Dan, Jordan Love, another struggle.
Yeah.
Panic or patience?
You got to have patience. A couple things. Jordan's got to start seeing the field a little bit more consistently. Too often, the note is, why are we throwing it there? So he's not seeing the field nearly as clean as he did certainly in the preseason and did the first couple weeks. The second thing is, we got to stop guiding the football.
Yes.
Sometimes when you see it, young man, you just got to let the ball loose instead of trying to hope it gets there.
Let's stop acting like the guy's a rookie. He's been around this team for a long time. I'm seeing the same guy I saw in college, where at times he can be reckless with the football. He had 17 interceptions his senior year in 13 games. I want to see that big step, that improvement. We know he has talent, but he can't be reckless.
Worried? Yeah, I am worried because he's regressed this season. But when you look late in the game, he makes the right decision to throw that football down the field that picked on by PJ Locke. But it's exactly what Dan said. He can't guide it. And I think when you start making mistakes, you start to try to guide those footballs in instead of letting them rip like we saw earlier in the season against the Saints.
They wind up losing that game yesterday to Denver. Next, we got Cleveland Indy. Two separate angles from this game that ultimately the Browns wind up winning. Deshaun Watson, 1 of 5 with an interception before leaving the game, and they kept him out even after he passed through the concussion protocol. RC, what are we thinking?
If I'm Barry, the general manager, I'm asking myself, did I make a mistake? If you're going to pick up Deshaun Watson at that time, you have to believe in the man, but you certainly believed in the player you saw in 2020. We have not seen that player one time in Cleveland, and now being injured again after coming back off of the shoulder injury, and people are hearing that he was healthy and just not in the game, that worries me, because if you watch this defense, you have to be excited about the potential of being a championship caliber team. And with Deshaun Watson, you should be that, and you just haven't seen
it. Miles Garrett was the best player in the NFL yesterday. What is going on with Deshaun?
He's on playing, playing bad football. I mean, he should have 2 interceptions. I completely agree with RC.
Kenny Moore dropped the one.
Yeah, I completely agree with RC. Right now, he's not available, and when he is, he's not playing well. I think it's a very real thing to say, does Cleveland have to call Minnesota on Kirk Cousins? Because they are a playoff football team with good quarterback.
And that makes sense, though. Kevin Stefanski has a familiarity with Kirk Cousins
makes
as well.
Sense.
The other thing from that game was the way it ended. And the folks in Indy and me think they got royally screwed on 2 calls late in the game. Here they are, Rex. That ball was
ridiculous.
Not deemed uncatchable.
Yeah, that one absolutely is uncatchable, without question. And I'm sorry,
too tall Jones can't catch that.
Nobody's catching that.
Victor Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama is not catching
that
ball.
That's exactly right.
He's 7'5". Come on. I mean, I cannot believe that call was allowed.
You know what's crazy about those moments? You tell the official, don't swallow your whistle. Swallow your whistle there. That's one of those you watch that play to the end and realize that even if it's a grab or a tug, did not impede his opportunities to catch this football because it's uncatchable.
Even if you throw the flag, you always have the ability to come back and say it's uncatchable.
I still can't believe they didn't. I'm still waiting for them to realize that ball was uncatchable.
Right.
Okay, one way or another, that was a crazy day. If you're a fan of the Colts, I know you're frustrated. Meanwhile, if you're a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm not exactly sure how you're feeling. They Tomlin their way to another win yesterday.
We're the most accidentally winning football game team in the world, baby.
Well, they're 4-2.
They
have been outgained in all 6 of their games this year.
Yeah, but
the other team has had more yardage in all of 6 of their games, but they're 4-2. How are they doing it?
Because of Mike Tomlin.
Yeah,
now, honestly,
that's
I really
it.
Didn't know how they're doing it. T.J. Watt in that defense. T.J. Watt not only makes plays the entire games, he makes game-changing plays. This interception that sets up an opportunity to score is T.J. Watt doing something we're not used to seeing him doing. He drops. You see the fire zone. It's great. It's a great read. It's a great catch. His athleticism is underrated. TJ Watt is an absolute stud of an athlete, and he also understands where to be, how to be there, and when he needs to make these plays.
That play by TJ Watt, I honestly think, is one of the best plays of the season so far. Think about it. TJ Watt has won 2 games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As an outside linebacker defensive end. He won the Cleveland game. And because of that pick, it's really the turning point and the difference in the football game. I was completely wrong in this game. I thought the Rams were going to protect
and throw it up and down
the football field against Pittsburgh. And I will credit that defense, obviously credit T.J. Watt. Kenny Pickett's doing enough in certain moments to make some big throws, but a big-time guy.
Guys, to Greeny's point, They've been outgained by 660 yards this year. 660 yards.
We're going to look up. We're going to look up, and they're going to have a negative point differential and win 10
like football Minnesota
games.
Did last year.
Like Minnesota
that.
Last year. They're just going to find ways to win the games that they're in, but we sometimes miss it because when they don't play well, they get absolutely blown out.
Oh, by the way, they're 2-0 in the division. They've beaten Cleveland. They've beaten Baltimore. I mean, they're Tomlining their way right into a season that no one thinks they should have.
Hey, ain't no secret. The secret is there's no secret.
The secret is he's an elite coach, and people need to talk about it more. Meanwhile, the ultimate sound off. The Commanders lose a terrible game to the Giants yesterday. Jonathan Allen did not hold back.
Does it get frustrating when that?
Yes, it does. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this bullshit. It's been 7 years of the same. Tired of it.
What can you do now going forward to get it turned around?
Get our minds right and get ready to play Philadelphia.
So our bleep guy, by the way, got paid double for that one. The guy who has to hit the bleeping over that, we had to pay him overtime in order to get that done.
Greeny, when you walk up to the dude in the locker room and he got a do-rag with sunglasses and a chain on with the open chest, you finna get some bleeps. You walked into expletive. This man looked like show enough when this started. And he can't hear your question because he got on AirPods. He don't even know the question, y'all.
What's the
this
question?
Man chose violence. The sheer audacity of the outfit says, I don't give no F's. Zero of them. And if you want to run this on regular syndicated network TV, you can't.
That's on you.
Look at my clothes, sir. Do I look like a man that is concerned with the rules? And last I checked, Jonathan Allen ain't got no ways.
Why you got a do-rag on
so there? What you got a do-rag on?
Someone say something.
I can't.
That man chose violence.
All right. Well, that was a terrible
thing. The Washington Commanders has made this man lose all his professionalism.
He's like the most professional dude in the league.
The man's a captain.
He looked like Stephen A's guy.
Godly.
He looked like Stephen A's security guy.
What was like security guard?
Chuby.
All right.
Chuby.
His weird kid's his name is Chuby. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Oh,
as Philly makes a huge statement on Sunday night, the Dolphins make a statement of their own. I need to catch my breath.
Jonathan Allen ain't got no waves.